Go behind the wheel and under the hood on everything automotive with high-speed stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. You know me. I'm Ben Bolin, a video writer here at HowStuffWorks.com. And as always, I'm hanging out with our very own Scott Benjamin, our auto editor.
Howdy do, Ben.
Howdy do indeed, Scott. You know, I, as always, am glad to see you and chock full of questions. Mm-hmm. You know, I wish I didn't have to do them one at a time, but we'll just...
You like to just blurt all of them out at one time?
I would like to, yeah, I would like to blurt all the questions that I have.
Make
and
it
then
intensely difficult if you did that way.
It would, because I would probably go too quickly, and it'd be tough to write it down. So we're gonna keep our wits about us here.
Okay.
I wanted to ask you if you'll go back with me to an earlier episode we had about fabricating car parts.
Wow. Okay.
Remember that one?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And interestingly enough, you know, the guys at Tech Stuff gave us a very nice compliment on their show about.
Yeah, they had the same idea. They had the 3D printers.
Mm-hmm.
They had different applications, of course. We were talking about car parts.
Sure.
But we did the same topic. That's okay.
Yeah, and they wrote us a very nice email. And
they
also, but in one of the recent episodes, they also gave us a bit of a shout-out.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
so
very nice.
I love to feel the love spreading in the podcast. But I bring up this 3D printing episode because in the midst of that episode, we talked about Jay Leno's garage.
Yes. The mythical garage that he has. Mm-hmm. You know, we were just talking about this before we went on air, that I don't know how many vehicles that guy has, but I would love to, I'd love to go see it, of course. I think a lot of people would really like to go see exactly what's there.
It's like this cave of wonders, but for cars.
Yeah, you get little bits and pieces of what's there, but you never get a sense of how big this collection really is. You know, how many vehicles he has, what he has in the collection, the entire surroundings. I'd love to see that all at one time.
Me too. You know the freakiest one, though?
What's that?
In my opinion, and this is my humble opinion.
The freakiest one?
The most unexpected.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Okay,
yep.
There we go. The most unexpected, his collection of steam cars.
Yeah.
Or as you mentioned to me earlier off the air, steam engines.
Yeah, yeah, he has both. He has steam engines, he has steam cars.
Scott, I had no idea there was more than one steam car. I thought maybe somebody came out with a steam car, and then someone else said, most of us are using gas.
No. That's pretty funny. That's interesting.
It's also probably wildly inaccurate.
A little bit. You know, actually, steam car technology goes way predates the internal combustion vehicle that we think of as modern cars.
Uh-huh.
As a matter of fact, it's probably ballpark 100 years older.
Wow.
So okay. there were steam-powered vehicles, not necessarily cars, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
They're more like tractor-like things, wagons, I guess, that have been around since, far as I can tell, since about 1803. That's about the first mention of anything that I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
So in 1803, you're talking about a steam-powered delivery vehicle that was used in England, and it, you know, ferried passengers back and forth around town. It delivered, you know, whatever, packages, mail, stuff like that.
Sure.
But really, I mean, so it's been around for a lot longer than you would think. I mean, there are no examples of this 1800 vehicle still around. There are steam engines that are still existing, and Jay Leno has a few of those, I guess, you know, from the 1830s, 1840s. But they're bolted down. They're just stationary engines that operate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you want to talk about this is interesting, I think. The oldest running car in the world, or the oldest known running vehicle in the world, is a steam-powered car.
Okay, well, I didn't know that, but I guess that makes sense in the context of the chronology here.
It's an 1884 French. It's a French car. It's a steam-powered vehicle. It's called a, and I'll probably mix this up like I always do.
Let's butcher away.
It's a De Dion Bouton Intrepido. How do you like that?
I don't see it written down, so I'll just go with you.
De Dion Bouton Intrepido.
There we go.
There you go. Something like that. Anyways, it's close enough. Anyways, it's 125 years old at this point.
And still
today.
Running.
And still running. This is an 1884 vehicle. It's still running. The oldest officially running, officially known running vehicle in the world. It was, as a matter of fact, it was auctioned in August of 2007 at the Pebble Beach Auction House for... Get this, it was expected to go between $1.5 to $2 million was the price. You know what it received at auction?
What?
$3,520,000.
Jeez.
$3.5 million for the oldest running car, really.
Well, I mean, you know, there's only one.
It's incredible, isn't it? And not only that, this one has the distinction of being the winner of the first ever car race. It was raced in, I believe it was 18, hang on a second, I saw this in a video. The owner, one of the owners, has only been, up to this point, now this is a little confusing, there have only been, as far as I can tell, three owners of this car throughout history. The original owner, then there was this one who I saw in this video, I don't remember the guy's name, but he said that this vehicle was in a race in either 1887 or 1888. I can't remember what the year was, or he wasn't clear on that. Top speed is only 38 miles per hour, but it did win. It did win this race. So here you are, the first car race champion ever. This oldest car ever. Again, $3.5 million. That's a pretty big price tag.
What was the speed?
38 miles per hour. But that was a top speed.
Right.
The average speed in this race, if it's the same one I'm thinking, it did a 19 mile road course where I think it averaged, I think they said 26 miles per hour.
Wow.
So you're not talking about intense speeds, but then again, you got to remember that most people were on horseback, bicycles, horse and carriage, wagons, you know, that
walking.
Type of thing. Walking, that's right. Oh, yeah, I forgot walking. Yeah, they were walking. We still do that now. I hear that people do that still.
We have all kinds of interesting subcultures in the city.
Mm-hmm.
I myself have been hanging around with the walkers, you know.
Cool. I'm going to get one of those little bikes like in Wally, you know, and just kind of scoot around.
You know, I want a bike, but I think I'm starting to get sold on steam-powered cars.
You want a steam-powered a little device to power yourself around the office here?
You know what? Do they have steam-powered Segways?
No.
All right.
But maybe
all right.
You could work on it.
I could work on it. I'll write to them. But so it's very interesting. I didn't know it won the first race.
Mm-hmm.
38 miles per hour, if it won the first race and it also hit that, would that be the record? The land speed record at the time?
I guess at the time that was, yeah. And here's the strange part about this, is that the owner said that, oddly enough, these cars were photographed a lot. So there's a lot of photographs of these first vehicles, these steam-powered cars, because they were so unusual. They were so unique that, and photo technology was relatively new at the time.
Sure.
People would turn the camera towards these cars a lot because, you know, they're just so outlandish at the time. So he's got a lot of photos of this thing, you know, at the race with previous owners, you know, just making appearances around different towns. He's been able to track down a lot of the history of this car.
Wow. How large was it, or what size about?
You know, it's not very big. I saw two men riding on it together. They were doing an interview, and they were shoulder to shoulder. And it's not very long. It's really what they were doing. What's interesting is they took the steam technology of the day, which was, you know, tractor size and big, almost huge bus size engines that took three people to operate them. They were very dangerous. They would explode at times.
Right.
It took technology that was that size, you know, of course, steam locomotives. It shrunk it down to the size where somebody could operate, you know, one person could operate it and it could be reliable. So it made it accessible to everybody, really.
Then the next question has to be, whatever happened to steam technology?
Well, steam technology kind of faded away, but it was popular even up until a point where internal combustion engines were beginning to be more and more more prevalent, because, you know, this was tried and true at this point. It had been around for 100 years or more at that point, so people trusted steam technology, oddly enough, more than they did the internal combustion engine, which was brand new at the time.
And so, like any new technology, it had some bugs.
Yeah, that's right. But so it didn't completely go away, but what did happen, I mean, let's just go to 1906. That's maybe the easiest thing to do.
Wait, 1906?
Yeah, 1906. And I'll tell you why 1906 is important, because the steam-powered land speed record was set. So you're talking about a period of time after the internal combustion engine had been around.
Right.
People are still concerned with steam technology enough to attempt these records and say that, you know, these are still, plausible forms of
viable vehicles.
Yeah, exactly, of transportation. So in 1906, an American by the name of Fred Marriott drove a Stanley steamer on Daytona Beach. This is amazing.
On the
hard-packed sands at Daytona Beach, 127 miles per hour in a steam-powered car.
You're friends, but I have a difficult time believing you. Well, 106, it just seems very, very, very fast.
127 in 1906.
127 in 1906, yeah. Pardon me.
It's amazing.
It's hard to swallow.
What a daredevil, really.
Really, yes.
Honestly, if he hit a soft patch of sand or anything, really, I mean, it's dangerous. So,
and that's quite a jump from 38 miles an hour.
That is quite a jump. You're right. You know what? You're right. That was the previous speed. This is now capable of 127. Amazing. But here's maybe something even slightly more amazing. That record from 1906 held for 103 years.
Did people stop racing steam cars?
They did. And that's probably exactly why that record held for the longest. It was known as the longest, standing land speed record at that point, up until August 25th of this year, of 2009.
This year.
It was broken in late August of 2009.
That's how you got me. That's what you meant when you said they didn't completely go away.
Yeah.
It was this year. Steam-powered car.
Brand new record. It was set by a British team, the British Steam Car Challenge team. And this information comes from their website, the British Steam Car Challenge site. Driver Charles Burnett III piloted a car for a peak speed of 136.103 on the first run and 151.085 miles per hour on the second run. So his average speed for the two runs, which is how they do the land speed record, average speed 139.843 miles per hour. And this is in one of those long tube-shaped cars. Looks like a rocket.
Mm-hmm.
Big, huge steam car. But, I mean, it took 100 years and a car that is this advanced to beat a record, from some guy in 1906 on Daytona Beach.
On the beach.
Yeah, I find that incredible.
That is incredible. It's very strange to me when we're talking about these predecessors to modern car technology. Now, please don't let me be misinterpreted here. I'm not trying to imply that anyone who's currently driving a steam-powered car is behind the times.
Like Mr. Burns.
Or Mr. Leno,
that's right.
I'm sure that there are valid reasons, and frankly, the guy who inspired us to do this podcast, Jay Leno, I think is performing a public service by preserving these vehicles.
Oh, I totally agree.
But one thing that still baffles me when we talk about this predecessor technology, do you remember that episode we did about starting a Model T?
I do.
And driving a Model T?
Yes.
And then our listener mail about having to drive one blindfolded?
Yes. Yeah, I remember that.
It makes me wonder about these cars, Scott. What is different about driving or starting a steam-powered car?
Oh my gosh, Ben. This is bigger than we really have time to cover completely step by step.
Okay.
But I can point you to a video.
All right.
Which you can watch, and this features Jay Leno.
Oh, good.
Which, of course, I mean, it's hard to find a video of someone starting and operating a steam-powered car other than Jay Leno. So, you probably have, good success trying to find this online, but the video that I'm talking about or that I watched it's 17 and a half minutes long, and it's called Jay Leno's Garage, or it's from Jay Leno's Garage. The vehicle that he's starting and driving is a 1909 Model R Stanley Steamer, and if you do keyword search on any of that, you'll come up with this this video. It's really, really cool. I watched the whole thing a couple of times, actually. I do that anyways, but it's really a stepped up version of what it takes to start and operate one of these cars, because it's a very time consuming, lengthy process that it involves the driver going back and forth, pumping up pressure, using a torch to ignite fuel, adding water, checking to make sure this valve is tight, checking all the seals, cleaning jets. It's just there's an enormous amount of precise steps that have to be followed in order to get this vehicle operating.
So this is not really our ideal getaway car.
No.
Is what I hear you saying.
No, and it's like, it could take, I'm guessing like half an hour or something, maybe 40 minutes to get one of these things running.
Gosh.
From start, if it's not heated up. Driving it, not terribly difficult, but not as simple as, today's cars, of course.
Mm-hmm.
He does both in the video. You get, a few minutes of driving. Mm-hmm. Of course, the startup procedure is pretty crazy. I mean, at one point, this is amazing. In this video, at one point he's using a torch to heat up the fuel in the front, and I guess some fuel must have leaked. He brings the torch down. There's this ball of flame that envelops him, hits him right in the chest, burns all the hair off of his forearms.
Oh, my gosh.
He falls backwards, you know, and he's laughing about it, of course, because, you know, he's not hurt and the car's not hurt. You know, it happens. I guess that's just, it's known that this happens when you're talking about, you know, operating a steam-powered vehicle.
And this is in the day before mandatory safety notifications.
Yeah, that's right. So you're lighting a pilot light. You've got branch tubes with fuel that you've got to atomize so that, you know, it's... so that it's injected into, so that it heats the water, so that it makes steam. It's actually really complex, and he's, you know, jumping up in the seat, he's opening the throttle, he's pulling back the handbrake, he's hand pumping the pressure to a certain point. You've got gauges all over the place, pressure gauges.
It's
an interesting process. It's really, really cool. What I found, there are a couple of main points in this that I found really interesting about steam cars that I just didn't know, and we'll just wrap it up with this.
All right, lay it on me.
This car, this huge car, only has 20 horsepower. It's an enormous vehicle, 20 horsepower from this giant steam-powered vehicle.
Wow.
However, I guess there's a lot of torque in a steam vehicle because it has 700 to 800 foot-pounds of torque, which means that you only really need one gear. It's just direct drive, so you can take off and you know, drive with one gear. So no transmission, no clutch, nothing like that. There's also... zero electricity in this vehicle. There's no wires. There's no battery. No electricity at all. It's got gas headlamps. Makes it, you know, a lot simpler. I guess when you think of it that way, it's a lot. It's a lot more refined, I guess. I don't know if refined
it's an is elegant right design.
It is. Because, that's right. Yeah. You're right. It's very simple, and there's not a lot of clutter to it. Everything after you get it started is completely mechanical. Mechanical operation takes over at a certain point. The pump just operates, and you have to you open and release the valves in order to control that power.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really cool. And equally cool, I thought, was the shutdown process. And I didn't know that he calls it the blowdown process, where you have to blow the scale out of the tubes so that it doesn't build up in the boiler
and
restrict water flow. So the blowdown process was pretty cool, too.
Is that on this video?
It is. It's at the very end. He backs it up to the garage at the end, releases, I think it's four big jets at the front of the car, and this thing just blasts steam out. You see really how much pressure this thing builds up. There's four giant blasts of steam power that last, I mean, longer than he has the valves open. He closes them before they're done. But it's shooting, I don't know, 100 feet down the alleyway. Really intense. And you don't want to walk in front of that, of course. It's very dangerous.
It'll burn imagine.
You, or maybe even cut you, I don't know. But... he does, at the end, go to, you know, maybe 4 or 5 feet out in front of the car and uses it to wash his hands off before he closes the last valve.
Oh, that's so, a little bit of style
The end there. I think so. But it's really cool to see him driving this on, I guess it's L.A. roads, is that right?
I imagine.
Yeah, I think it's on L.A., just on ordinary streets. I mean, he's stopping at streetlights. He's got people pulling up next to him, and he's sitting on top of this big steam-powered car.
Wow.
It's really cool, a Stanley Steamer.
Now, this is usually the part of the show where we wrap up with me asking you if you would get one. Let me leapfrog you real quick here and anticipate your question. I'm not going to get one.
No?
Yeah, you know, dude, I won't even carry coffee in my car. It would be just a grave hypocrisy for me to have a car powered by hot, hot liquid.
Yeah. So I think it's an interesting car. I would like to try, and I would like to assist maybe, you know, trying to get one of these up and running. I've seen it happen. I went to a Concours show one time and watched a guy, the full process from, you know, a cold vehicle all the way to pulling away. It took a long time. I don't remember how long, but it was complex, just like you see in this video, but except I got the full treatment there. And I would like to I'd like to help somebody do it sometime. I'd like to drive one, of course, and just try it.
Yeah,
it'd be interesting. It'd be difficult, really.
Yeah.
But I don't think I would want to own one for sure. I
mean, I'd hang out with you if you owned one.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't start it.
It's an interesting museum piece.
Sure.
It's a cool thing for a collector like Jay to have.
Yeah.
However, if this is your third car that you take out on weekends, it might be a little bit more trouble than you think to get it up and going.
That's true.
Yeah.
And to everybody else out there, thank you so much for tuning in. And I guess thank you to Mr. Leno for taking care of these vehicles. because, again, we really do feel it's a public service. Do you have any interesting car driving stories? Do you have any suggestions for an upcoming episode? Do you check out Scott's blog? If not, you should. It's on the homepage. And you can also send us an email at highspeedstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com. And be sure to check out the High Speed Stuff blog on the HowStuffWorks.com homepage.